Let me start the presentation. On page two, this is the agenda for today's conference call. First of all, I'll give you the overview of the third quarter financial results, followed by efforts and progress in the third quarter and shareholder return to be presented by Mr. Hanasaki. First of all, I'll give you the overview of the third quarter fiscal year 2018 financial results. Page 4 gives you the summary of the consolidated financial results. The first column indicated the full year forecast revised on October 29th. The next two columns show the April-December results and progress versus forecasts. For your reference, you can find the actual April-December results in fiscal year 2017 and year-on-year growth in percentage and value. The sales were 265.2 billion yen with 74.9% progress versus forecasts. The year-on-year growth was 0.7% with the increase by 1.9 billion yen. The operating income was 97.4 billion yen with 78.3% progress versus forecasts. It increased by 8.1% with 7.3 billion increase year on year. The ordinary income was 115.7 billion yen with 77.9% progress versus forecasts. The growth rate was 9.7% with 10.2 billion yen increase year-on-year. The profit attributable to owners of parent was 94.3 billion yen with 79.6% progress versus forecasts. It grew by 18.3% with 14.6 billion increase year-on-year. The sales and profits have made a good progress against the full-year forecasts. We had higher sales and profits year-on-year. For each profit, we had the record-high results in the April-December period. The operating income and profit attributable to owners of parent grew for four consecutive years, and the ordinary profit for 10 consecutive years. For the average exchange rate at the beginning of the period, the yen depreciated slightly against the dollar and pound, as you can see in the table right below. On page 5, I will explain the statement of income. The actual sales were 265.2 billion yen with achievement of 74.9%. which grew by 1.9 billion yen year-on-year. The sales of prescription drugs declined due to the impact from generic drugs, while the royalty income grew in the HIV franchise, and we obtained the milestone income from Roche for Xofluza. The last two factors contributed to the higher sales. The cost of sales was 40.4 billion yen, with achievement of 70.8%. It declined by 16.3 billion yen year-on-year. This decline is mainly due to the lower sales of prescription drugs in Japan. As a result, gross profit was 224.9 billion yen, which increased by 18.2 billion yen year-on-year. The SG&A expenses was 127.4 billion yen, with achievement of 73.9%, which increased by 10.9 billion yen year-on-year. The selling and administrative expenses was 74.5 billion yen, which increased by 3.5 billion yen year-on-year. The R&D expenses were 53 billion yen, which increased by 7.4 billion yen year-on-year. The main reason for higher R&D expenses was 14.8 billion yen of strategic investment. The ordinary R&D expenses were 38.2 billion yen, which declined by 7.4 billion yen year-on-year. In total, the R&D expenses increased by 7.4 billion yen. The ordinary R&D expenses declined because the proactive investment in the development of XOFLUZA up to the last fiscal year doesn't have impact anymore. The achievement ratio of ordinary R&D expenses was 75.8%, in line with our expectation. As a result, the operating income was 97.4 billion yen, with achievement of 78.3%, which increased by 7.3 billion yen year-on-year. The non-operating income and expenses were 18.2 billion yen, which increased by 2.9 billion yen year-on-year. The ordinary income was 115.7 billion yen, which increased by 10.2 billion yen year-on-year. The profit attributable to owners of parent was 94.3 billion yen, which increased by 14.6 billion yen year-on-year. Page six summarized the year-on-year comparison and main variation factors. The box on the right indicates the main variation factors in the third quarter from October to December. The sales actually declined year-on-year up to the first half due to the penetration of generic drugs of CRESTOR and IRBITAN franchise. However, as the sales of new products started to grow in the second half, the sales of prescription drugs in Japan bottomed out, and in addition, we obtained the milestone income from Roche for the approval of XOFLUZA in the U.S. Thus, the sales turned to be positive with 1.9 billion yen growth year-on-year. For the 16.3 billion yen decline of cost of sales, the main reason is the lower sales of prescription drugs, as mentioned before. But this comes mostly from the year-on-year difference in the first half. And the gross profit grew by 18.2 billion yen. The R&D expenses grew by 7.4 billion yen year-on-year. As explained before, this is due to strategic investment. In the third quarter, the net increase of strategic investment was 1.7 billion yen. The operating income increased by 7.3 billion yen. The non-operating income and expenses increased by 2.9 billion yen due to the impact of the year-on-year difference in the first half. The ordinary income grew by 10.2 billion yen. Lastly, the extraordinary income and losses grew by 3.8 billion yen due to the profit on sale of investment securities. The profit attributable to owners of parent was increased by 14.6 billion yen year-on-year. Page seven shows the sales by segment. The sales of prescription drugs in Japan were 88.3 billion yen, with 74% achievement, which was declined by 20.1 billion yen year-on-year. The decline was mainly due to the penetration of generic drugs. I'll give you the breakdown by product later. The sales of overseas subsidiaries and export was 22.1 billion yen, with 70.6% achievement, which increased by 4.6 billion yen year-on-year. For Shionogi Inc., the sales were 9.4 billion yen, with 75.6% achievement, which increased by 1 billion yen year-on-year. we started marketing Synproic and Mooplata, which were developed internally. For Ospina, we continue to facilitate the collaboration with Dushane. The sales were 2.4 billion yen with 58.4% achievement, which declined by 600 million yen year-on-year. We think this was mainly due to severe competition. The sales of contract manufacturing were 9.2 billion yen, which declined by 2.6 billion yen year-on-year. The sales of OTC and quasi-drug were 6.3 billion yen, which increased by 600 million yen year-on-year. The total royalty income was 137.5 billion yen, which increased by 19.4 billion yen year-on-year. More specifically, the royalty income from the HIV franchise was 89.9 billion yen, which increased by 15.9 billion yen year-on-year. The sales of Tivicay and Trimec by ViiV were good. The royalty income from Crestor was 16.4 billion yen, while that of others was 31.2 billion yen, which increased by 4.1 billion yen year-on-year. Others includes the milestone income we received in the third quarter from Roche for the approval of Xofluza in the U.S. As a result, the total sales were 265.2 billion yen, which increased by 1.9 billion yen year-on-year. On page 8, you can find the year-on-year comparison and main variation factors for the sales by segment. Like before, the box on the right explains the main variation factors in the October-December period. The royalty income from HIV franchise grew by 15.9 billion yen, while overseas subsidiaries export grew by 4.6 billion yen, and royalty income from others by 4.1 billion yen. These three contributed to the increased revenue for us. As explained before, the royalty income from others includes the income from Roche for the approval of Xofluza in the U.S. The sales of prescription drugs in Japan declined by 20.1 billion yen, which was a negative factor for our revenue. However, the sales from influenza family, mainly from Xofluza, which was launched in March last year, have started to make a big contribution. Thus, the proportion of sales from the strategic products is expanding. I'll explain this by product on the next page. Page 9 shows the sales of prescription drugs in Japan. Among the strategic products, Cymbalta suffered a big impact from NHI drug price revision last spring. However, the volume has grown steadily since last year. The sales were 18.6 billion yen, which increased by 400 million yen year-on-year. The sales of Intuniv were 3.9 billion yen, which increased by 2.7 billion yen. The year-on-year change was 223.6%, meaning the sales were about three times higher. The product is making a good progress. For Xofluza, the influenza period started relatively slowly due to a warm winter. However, we started the full-fledged shipment of the product towards the end of the year. The sales of Xofluza were 9.9 billion yen. However, Repyecta and Brightpox Flu suffered from an impact of slower start of the influenza season and haven't made a big contribution to the sales yet. The sales were 770 million yen and 580 million yen from Repyecta and Brightpox Flu, respectively. OxyContin franchise is influenced by generic drugs. The sales were 5.8 billion yen, which declined by 1.2 billion yen year-on-year. The sales of Synproic were 1.2 billion yen, which increased by 800 million yen year-on-year. As a result, the total sales of strategic products were 40.8 billion yen, which showed a big growth of 12.2 billion yen year-on-year. Total sales of new products, adding Actair, Mupirolizumab, and Pyrespa to the strategic products, were 45.6 billion yen, which increased by 11.8 billion yen year-on-year. On the other hand, Crestor and Erbitux suffered from the penetration of generic drugs. The sales of Crestor were 7.8 billion yen, which declined by 18.5 billion yen. The sales of Erbitux franchise was 4.4 billion yen, which declined by 7.5 billion yen. Thus, both products had a significant decline in sales. These two products are the main factor for the lower sales of prescription drugs in Japan. But the quarterly sales trend of Crestor and Erbitux franchise shows a sign of bottoming out. In addition, the year-on-year decline in sales is shrinking on a quarterly basis. Thus, the impact of these products on the year-on-year decline in sales is becoming smaller. The total sales of prescription drugs in Japan were 88.3 billion yen, which declined by 20.1 billion yen. The lower sales of Crestor and Erbitux franchise, due to the penetration of generic drugs, are gradually offset by the growth in sales of strategic products. This concludes the overview of the third quarter fiscal year 2018 financial results. Now, I myself, Hanasaki, will explain the efforts and progress in the third quarter fiscal year 2018. Please go to the next slide. This page summarizes the major progress we made in the third quarter fiscal year 2018. There are three categories: Japanese business, overseas business, and R&D. We indicate the mid to long-term plan and the major progress in the third quarter fiscal year 2018. For the Japanese business, Crestor and Erbitux have lower sales due to the penetration of generic drugs, as was explained before. But in the third quarter, we saw a sign of bottoming out. On the other hand, the new products, including Xofluza, Cymbalta, and Intuniv, are growing. Thus, we are shifting much resource to the new products. As a result, the October to December sales were increased by 3.1 billion yen from the previous year. This is actually shown in the graph on the next page. I'll explain page 12 first. Up to the second quarter, as you can see, the quarterly sales declined year-on-year due to the launch of Crestor and Erbitux generics. However, in the third quarter, as was explained before, the sales from the new products have started to grow with 3.1 billion yen increase. Therefore, we are now in the phase of sales growth by our own earning power. The details of this 3.1 billion yen increase are shown on page 31 in the appendix. The sales of Crestor and Erbitux declined by 4.4 billion yen year-on-year. The sales from the others declined by 2.3 billion yen due to the NHI drug price revision. However, the sales of new products grew by 9.8 billion yen. These factors have led to the increase by 3.1 billion yen, shown on page 12. We are aiming to achieve 3.3 billion yen increase as our second half forecasts. Thus, we would like to facilitate sales growth by our own earning power further.
I'd like to once again revisit the table on page 11. As mentioned earlier, our revenue increased 3.1 billion yen year-on-year. The ratio of strategic products increased from 39.2% in the first half to 55.5% in the third quarter, increasing its weight in total revenue. This shows that concentrating resources on the new products is driving more revenue. Next, overseas business. This slide shows our efforts to enhance our presence in the U.S. Cefiderocol is on track to meet our planned approval timelines. Upon termination of our alliance with Purdue, we started self-promoting Synproic, which is generating revenue. We initiated full-scale promotion for Mulopretta in December. Third, R&D. To advance the development of next growth drivers, we have identified eight high-priority projects, which consist of the seven projects outlined on the R&D Day last year, in addition to S812217 in-licensed from Sage. The priority projects are making steady progress. HIV drugs are also advancing smoothly. Under the framework of strategic investment, we have signed four new business alliance agreements. We'd like to continue investing for the next stage while aiming to increase both sales and profit for fiscal 2018, as well as to make a solid progress toward continuous growth in 2019. Those are the results that we have achieved in the third quarter. Page 12 is already presented, so I'd like to proceed to page 13, which describes Japanese business. The slide shows new product family by product category. Although the April 2018 price revision reduced the price for Cymbalta, the prescriptions have increased more than 15% from the previous year. As a result, revenue rose 1.9% year-on-year. The growth is most prominent in pain area, with a 29% surge in year-over-year prescription in the orthopedic market. Revenue for Intuniv increased 3.2-fold from the previous year. The product gained the largest share in the non-stimulant market for pediatric ADHD in terms of naive and switch patients, as well as add-on treatment. Furthermore, Intuniv and lisdexamfetamine are under review for adult and pediatric use, respectively. Next, influenza family. As mentioned earlier, the start of the flu season this year came slightly late in December. However, the flu started spreading very rapidly in January. December saw increased shipments to wholesalers in preparation for January, driving more revenue. As the influenza epidemic reaches warning level in some regions, sales for Xofluza is surging. Because the product draws much societal attention, we'd like to maximize its value through continued development. On opioid family, more than 90% of OxyContin has now switched to the TR formulation. Sales for the new product, Synproic, increased 3.2-fold from the previous year. This slide outlines Xofluza. The product receives societal attention. It is a single-dose oral therapy characterized by enhanced convenience of single dosing that can complete the treatment in one cycle and rapid viral decrease in the body. Those features make the product rated highly by both medical experts and patients, and drawing much attention by the media. In Japan, through sales activities tailored to each region and e-detailing, product information is delivered effectively. Moreover, clinical studies are underway for prophylaxis and new dosage for children. Overseas, Roche Group has launched the product in the U.S. mid-November, and is strongly promoting the product through their sales activities. Their sales already topped 1.4 billion yen as of the end of December. As part of their global development program, Roche is making steady progress with clinical trials in pediatric and severely ill hospitalized patients. Next, business in the U.S. In infectious disease, Cefiderocol is on track to meet our planned approval timelines in the U.S. Also, enrollments are progressing smoothly for the carbapenem-resistant and HAPVAP studies. In pain and CNS, we are self-promoting Synproic by utilizing contract sales reps' capability to ensure efficient promotion of the product while maintaining sales channels established by Purdue. We are currently seeking a new partner to further the growth. Mulpleta initiated full-scale promotion in December. We are aiming to swiftly penetrate the market through Mulpleta Assist program, while expanding our sales channel through targeted efforts made by contract sales reps. The share of Osfina has been slightly encroached by generic products. However, in January, we have obtained supplemental indication for dryness. Leveraging this, we'd like to aim to grow its revenue. To conclude, we are making steady progress to reach the break-even this fiscal year. We are also building our foundation to expand the U.S. business. Next, R&D. I'd like to update you on next growth drivers. In infectious disease, we have an anti-HIV drug with novel mechanism of action, whose non-clinical studies are progressing to enable the initiation of Phase 1 study in fiscal 2019. On S004992 tuberculosis, non-clinical studies are progressing to support the initiation of Phase 1 study in China. In pain and CNS, we have an internally developed S600918 whose Phase 2 POC study is underway for refractory unexplained chronic cough in Japan. The preliminary results will be available by the end of fiscal 2018. On S637880, Phase 1 study and microdose study are progressing to determine the propensity of the drug to penetrate into the central nervous system. On S812217, in-licensed from Sage, Phase 1 study was initiated in October. Under others, for the internally discovered vaccine adjuvants, non-clinical studies are progressing. On S770108, or Pyrespa inhaled product, Phase 1 study has been completed. Under peptide, we'd like to optimize multiple hit peptides, which we have identified, while continue launching new drug discovery programs. That was an overview for the 8 high-priority projects. Details will be announced on R&D Day, scheduled for March 14th. This slide outlines S812217. The mechanisms are shown on the left. While existing antidepressants exert their effect by increasing monoamine, S812217 has a binding site that is different from GABA and functions as a positive allosteric modulator. By directly acting on inhibitory neurons, it can have a rapid onset of efficacy. The pipelines of Sage is shown on the right. Sage 217 met primary and secondary endpoints in Phase 3 clinical trial for postpartum depression. Rapid onset and prolonged efficacy after drug cessation have been confirmed in the study. Currently, Phase 3 clinical trial for major depression disorder is proceeding. Brexanolone is an IV drug that has the same mechanism. The product is under review by FDA for postpartum depression. The review is expected to complete on March 19th. Sage and Shionoge will be co-hosting a briefing on S812217 on February 5th. This is an update on HIV treatment platform. The first two drug regimen, Juluca, was launched in Japan in December. On the first cabotegravir rilpivirine long-acting injection, the FLAIR study in October showed equivalent efficacy in naive adult patients switching from Turmec. We plan to make NDA MAA submissions in the U.S. and EU during the first half of 2019. To conclude, steady progress has been made to maximize the value of the HIV platform. Next, progress of strategic investment. By the first half of the year, we have entered into agreement with four companies, namely Seres, Sage, Nemesis, and Rodo Pharmaceutical on cell therapy. In the third quarter, we have concluded four more business alliance agreements. First, we invested in VEST to in-license a nitric oxide inhaled formulation platform for the treatment of respiratory infections. This secured our preferential negotiation rights for future in-license of the leading compound and subsequent compounds. Local release of nitric oxide in the lung is expected to have wide-ranging antimicrobial effects on resistant bacteria. Second, we launched collaborative research with Ube for novel anti-RS virus drug candidates. Utilizing the strength of Ube in small molecule therapies for respiratory diseases caused by RS viruses, we would like to accelerate the development of candidate compounds. Third, through in-licensing from Tetra, we obtained BPN-14770, a drug candidate for cognitive and memory deficits. The product is a phosphodiesterase 4D negative allosteric modulator that has a novel mechanism. It is expected to improve cognitive function by raising the cyclic AMP level. Because of its novel mechanism, we can also expect to avoid adverse effects such as vomiting, frequently caused by conventional PDE inhibitors. Finally, we launched collaborative research with PeptiDream for a peptide drug conjugate PDC technology platform that can enhance brain permeability of compounds. PDPS technology will be used to bind cargo peptides to target molecules to pass across the BBB. The objective of our joint research is to bind specific small to mid molecules in such a way that compounds are selectively delivered to the brain. That concludes our presentation on main activities and achievements which came to fruition in the third quarter. The last topic before I finish is shareholder return. Please refer to page 21. Since July 31st, we have spent 50 billion yen to buy back 7,350,400 shares. The initial upper limit for the share buyback was set to around 8.6 million shares. However, during the share buyback period, our stock price rose, reducing the number of shares to be bought back to 7.5 million. With the rising stock price, the euro-yen convertible bonds due 2019 have been converted, making us to contribute 3.9 million shares. This lowered the percentage of treasury stocks. Throughout our history, the percentage of treasury stocks has been maintained around 3% through acquisition and cancellation. To ensure capital agility going forward, we decided to change the number of shares to be canceled to 7.35 million shares, which we have acquired recently. This will lower the percentage of treasury stocks to 1.8%. Going forward, we will maintain the 2% level to drive our corporate value while ensuring capital agility. That concludes our briefing on financial results for the third quarter of fiscal 2018.
Let's move on to the Q&A session. The Q&A session will be moderated by an operator. The first person is Mr. Seki from UBS Securities. Please.
This is Seki speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
I have several questions. My first question is the gross profit margin ratio, excluding royalty income, was very good in this three-month period. Is there any outstanding factor to improve the gross profit margin ratio, excluding royalty income, other than XOFLUZA?
We didn't observe anything outstanding.
Thus, it is mostly due to XOFLUZA.
Yes.
Thank you. My second question is about XOFLUZA in the U.S. I got the Roche's number of 13 million Swiss francs, and based on that number of weekly prescriptions from IQVIA, I had a discussion with an investor that the startup may be slow. How do you see the situation from the launch to the end of year in the U.S.?
We have heard that the influenza epidemic is milder in the U.S. We also have heard that the market share is in line with Roche's expectation. I think that the market share is still in low single digits, but it is within your expectation.
Yes.
Thank you. I don't know whether I can ask you the current situation of XOFLUZA in Japan. There was media coverage on the restriction on shipment. Externally, I can assume that you had good sales of XOFLUZA in January and February. Do you have any specific intention to maintain the guidance?
As was explained in the presentation, the influenza epidemic season started slowly in December. We shipped a large quantity of the product to wholesalers to be well prepared for the peak season in January. The company wasn't encouraged enough to change the guidance.
Correct. In addition, the epidemic is spreading quickly now. However, it is uncertain how the peak season will proceed going forward. Thus, we don't change our sales forecast as of now.
Thank you. I saw the media reporting on I38 mutation with XOFLUZA, a resistant virus issue. I know that you expected this would happen already last year. Could you please tell me the measures you are taking to protect the value of XOFLUZA?
We are now implementing research and analysis on the profile of this mutant. As of now, we have confirmed that the susceptibility declines by 50 times at maximum due to this I38 mutation. However, an issue is whether it can be transmitted from the patient to others. An in vitro study has shown that the mutant has lower replicative capacity. We are planning to perform additional non-clinical and clinical studies on the transmission of mutation.
Thank you. Next is my last question. I know that you will shift to IFRS from the next fiscal year, ending March 2020. Would you receive the royalty income in the same quarter, even though it is now received in the following quarter?
The royalty income will be received in the following quarter, even after shifting to IFRS.
Thank you. That's all from me.
Let's move on to the next question. Mr. Yamaguchi from Citigroup Global Markets Japan, please.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
You mentioned the milestone income from Roche many times in the presentation. Please remind me if you had similar milestone income in the second quarter as well. Yes. In the second quarter, we had the milestone income for the high-risk study.
Thank you for clarification. This is also a detailed question, and I am not updated yet. But I saw a media report on the delay of Vyvanse approval. Do you have any further update?
Vyvanse is a CNS stimulant. Thus, we need to establish a robust system for distribution and management. PMDA is now carefully reviewing the application. The public comment collection is now over, and the application will be discussed in the Committee on Drugs. We are waiting for the review result. As a company, we are making efforts to establish a sufficient system for the use and management of the drug. Once such a system is established, you can move forward because there is no issue with the drug.
Yes.
I understand. This is kind of a repeat question. You said that you shipped a large quantity of Xofluza in the October-December period to be well prepared for the peak season in January. The number of patients is increasing significantly now. I think that you will decide how much to ship, assuming the volume which has already been shipped will be consumed as expected. You shipped a lot in December, but I think that the actual sales in the period was only about 3 billion yen. The difference will be sold in the fourth quarter, and you are still not sure how much incremental sales will be booked. Is it correct?
We shipped the product in January as well. I believe that the volume shipped in December will be consumed in the fourth quarter.
I see. My last question is a semi-macroeconomic question. There has been a lot of discussion on the pricing in the U.S. from a macroeconomic perspective. Especially in the protected CNS area, there is a discussion on revising the pricing. On your actual business basis, do you have any new topic for HIV treatment pricing?
Nothing, especially.
Nothing.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Next is Mr. Ueda, Goldman Sachs. Mr. Ueda, please.
This is Ueda, Goldman Sachs. I'd like to ask several questions. First, pertaining to Xofluza, the product is frequently prescribed in Japan. How do medical experts evaluate the product? Also, there seems to be a difference in terms of how the product is increasing its market share between the U.S. and Japan. What do you think are the factors behind the difference? Could you please describe? In terms of evaluation by medical experts, unlike existing influenza drugs, Xofluza completes the treatment by a single-dose oral therapy. The product is also characterized by rapid viral decrease. Medical experts fully understand these advantages and adopting our product. Do you hear any different comments on clinical evaluation between Japan and the U.S.?
We have not heard of any difference at this stage.
I understand. Thank you. Second, on Intranib. The product seems to be treading slower than the guidance, although the share is steadily increasing. Do I understand correctly that the slower progress is attributable to some factor in the market? For example, potential patients who have not been diagnosed?
Yes, Intranib is often used concomitantly. We need to clearly present main features of Intranib to stakeholders in order to further grow its share, especially in naive patients.
We'd like to provide accurate product information in order to prepare for an expanded indication for adults during the next fiscal year.
Thank you. My final question is on your cost outlook for the next fiscal year. Cefiderocol, which is making steady progress, needs to prepare for a possible launch during the next year. Do you anticipate a cost increase associated with the preparation? Moreover, you are currently aggressively promoting strategic investments. Do you foresee any changes in cost under these items in the coming year? Please let us know. Thank you for your question. On strategic investment, we are currently promoting eight priority projects this year. The next fiscal year is a stage in which we will progress these eight priority projects. Thus, during the next fiscal year, new strategic investment framework has not been earmarked for any further investment. Is it going to cost a lot to prepare for the launch of cefiderocol? On cefiderocol, in anticipation for an approval, we will make sure to arrange necessary pre-launch activities. Thank you very much. That's it from me. Next is Mr. Wakao, Mitsubishi UFJ Morgan Stanley. Mr. Wakao, please.
Hello, this is Wakao from Mitsubishi UFJ Morgan Stanley. Thank you for your presentation. First, on XOFLUZA. Maybe I should raise this question with Roche, but how big will the size of the government stockpile be, considering the size of the U.S. market? Moreover, what percentage will the government stockpile represent in your peak sales? In addition, if there is going to be a government stockpile, at what timing will the authorities start stockpiling? Thank you. I am sure Roche is anticipating a government stockpiling and considering making necessary arrangements in the future. However, because multiple clinical studies are still underway, it will take time to start concrete discussions on the matter. As for the domestic stockpiling, the product has a stable shelf life of 2 to 3 years. Considering both its longer stable shelf life and further actual usage of the product, we will discuss the matter with competent authority. I understand. You just mentioned that the strategic investment is not budgeted for the next fiscal year. Under R&D expense, strategic investment, which is forecasted to amount 18 billion yen this year, will be gone next year. But the inputs you made under strategic investment will require additional R&D expense in the next fiscal year. Is my understanding correct? Phase III studies for XOFLUZA have been completed. Thus, R&D expense in the next fiscal year will remain the same as this fiscal year. I understand. Having said that, though, a lot of strategic investment items are in early stage and thus unlikely to inflate the R&D expense that much. That is correct, because many of them are still in early stage. I understand. On cefiderocol, could you clarify how to market the product? The product may not be frequently prescribed. However, FDA is considering granting medical institutions marketing authorization so they can generate revenue by distributing the product as a way to boost R&D in this area. I assume that Shionogi is pursuing that direction. Could you please update us on the matter? Are we expecting that to happen when the drug is approved? Pricing is an important point. As we are still in consultation with the authority, nothing is set in stone. We will study the details in the future. Thank you. That's it from me. Next is Mr. Sakai, Credit Suisse. Mr. Sakai, please.
Hello, this is Sakai. I'd like to raise two questions. One is on XOFLUZA. Roche reported that the fourth quarter sales topped 13 million Swiss francs. I understand that Shionogi is exporting semi-products or prepackaged products to Roche. Is this figure booked as a revenue for your overseas subsidiary's export?
In other words, do your results include those shipments to Roche? Xofluza's shipment to Roche is included in the figure.
It is included.
Yes.
However, the amount is undisclosed?
That is correct.
But the figure was insignificant as of the end of the third quarter, am I right?
It is reflected in the contract manufacturing figure for the third quarter.
Okay, it is included under the contract manufacturing.
Yes.
So do I understand correctly that this portion will grow as Xofluza expands its sales?
Yes.
I understand. My other question is, well, I may have to save this question until the joint briefing on S812217. But according to the table on page 17, the compound is described in the context of postpartum depression. I believe that the original indication of the product was depression when you in-licensed it. Underneath S812217 is Duraleso, which is developed by Sage and indicated for postpartum depression. With the PDUFA date approaching near, are you going to in-license Duraleso and develop S812217 for postpartum depression? Is that the reason why the product is listed here?
We will consult with Sage regarding Duraleso, as well as an indication for postpartum depression. We have not officially decided to in-license the product yet. All that is certain is S812217 for depression, correct?
Yes.
There is no more question. Mr. Kiyokawa, please. With that, we would like to conclude the QA. Thank you very much for attending our briefing today. Thank you.